Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.
Korang tengah layan podcast Aman, sebahagian dari jaringan podcast di Aman sini. Apa khabar semua? Aku Matis.
Aku Yem.
Okey lah Yem, sebenarnya aku terbatuk-batuk lah, tapi kita punya tugasan hakiki kepada podcast Aman sini perlu diteruskan. Banyak perkara kita nak bincang. Kita mulakan segmen pertama, apa berita terbesar minggu ni?
As they say, the show must go on. Okay. In segment. Alright, in jingle, go ahead.
Berita terbesar minggu ni sebenarnya, we've been talking about cybersecurity for the longest time kan. And I think kita punya pendengar semua tahu. Recently aku punya colleague, in fact our colleague was Telegram pun, dia pun kena hack, tiba-tiba minta 3000 apa, tapi he's just an engineer. I mean he's engineer lah, tapi ni Perdana Menteri kita sendiri Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob dalam satu tweet bukanlah mengumumkan, memaklumkan akaun Telegram peribadi beliau telah digodam oleh individu tidak bertanggungjawab. Aku tak tahulah bila penggodam ni individu bertanggungjawab. Then basically abaikan dalam tweet beliau minta jika ada apa-apa laporkan kepada pihak berkuasa dan abaikan sebarang mesej yang diterima daripada akaun berkenaan. Aku punya isu di sini, biasalah Telegram kena hack. And in fact, we've seen our fair share of numbers, tapi aku rasa this is the first time a public official of the utmost importance got hacked. Aku tak tahu, what does that tell you about the state of cybersecurity or any data privacy in the country, when numero uno of our executive branch got hacked? Telegram beliau, what do you think, Ray?
Kita kena tengok dulu. Telegram and Signal, is it hackable? The answer is yes, of course, everything is hackable. Everything is hackable. In fact, kalau kau tengok yang our previous podcast on Apple Pay contohnya, there's a reason why Apple doesn't keep your credit card data and your debit card data on Apple Pay. It's because they want to keep it on the device itself, on security enclave, just in case, in the remote chance that there is a human being or a state actor that accesses the Apple servers, they cannot get your data. So the idea here is, it's not the idea of how, it's the idea of when. Okay, ni bukan isu bila, jika boleh sesuatu server itu digodam. Semestinya the answer is yes, it can and it will. In fact, the issue here now is when. What is the preventative measures that can be put in place in order for you to get off the data security software altogether? So in that Apple Pay example, even if I am this mega super hacker, state government, state sponsored, a Julian Assange kind of level, I still can't get your credit card number because it was never stored pun dalam the server of Apple. Mm-hmm. So in this case, our numero uno, our prime minister, does not necessarily see the concept of servers being hacked in this case his Telegram or Signal being hacked. The best way to communicate and ensure that your communication is not hacked is for both of us to masuk dalam gua dan sembang ataupun use hand signal while scuba diving. That's the only way forward, right? In terms of communication and ensuring that is not going to be listened and observed. As long as you use the data that is capable to be transmitted on your device with another device, it is open for business in terms of being transacted. What worries me is this. Sorry, the 4 minute and we still haven't gotten to the point of it. The point is, what is the Prime Minister communicating on Signal for and Telegram? Do you know when Barack Obama first entered office, they took away his BlackBerry? Ni 2008. And the reason is because the moment you are the head of state or the head of government, your communication is now resembling the government's position. It's no longer what I think or what. No, it is the government's position. Every single thing that is being communicated out of that office by that individual, after that individual has been sworn in right in front of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, everything you do, you are the person that, you are the personification of the state. Right? That comes with the job. Just like how kalau kita hire a CEO of a company or the CEO of a startup, whatever you do, you reflect the organization that you belong to. Mm-hmm. Now, my interesting point here is that dia made that statement because why? Is it because of so much sensitive data is about to come out? We don't know who or what and what kind of data is going to come out. And then they're going to blame the person that is hacking? Or is he, you know, doing a due diligence in terms of, okay, I want to talk about how this is going to impact data security moving forward. I really don't know. Whatever it is, it is not good news. It is not good news, the fact that they're going to go down.
We can only speculate, like him. And I think when you ask about why is he using Telegram, my professor, is for the simple fact of, I think if you look at politicians these days, they're looking for the best way to disseminate info in the fastest way possible. And we all know Telegram punya ability to sebarkan info. You can see clearly from MKN, even our own MOH, they keep using Telegram to disseminate info. And I'm not sure, because I don't think I'm subscribed to the Prime Minister or the Prime Minister has my number, but aku rasa I could assume that is why Telegram is being used. That's why aku tak sure in terms of the peribadi and the official thing. Is it the one that, you know, he used for his personal phone number, or is it like memang on official duty?
But then it doesn't really
It doesn't matter because it's the Prime Minister, right? Aku harap that this particular episode actually gives him, you know, maybe he should include it in his legislative agenda, or maybe as part of manifesto. Yeah. Because aku rasa no political party is giving this enough thought. Good data privacy policy, you know. Aku rasa tak salah. And I think it will attract investors, actually. I presume when you have a good data privacy policy, people feel confident, people feel secure, and people want to invest. Tapi aku rasa orang tak undi kot benda ni.
Okay, so the thing is, there's also an addendum news to this, because pada minggu lepas, PDRM telah pun dituduh oleh Meta, syarikat ibu ataupun syarikat induk kepada Facebook, menjalankan troll farm. Dan quarterly adversarial threat report yang dikeluarkan oleh Meta mendakwa bahawa sebanyak ataupun lebih kurang 1,000 Facebook dan Instagram account as well as Facebook groups and pages were removed for violating its policy against coordinated inauthenticated behavior. Dan 596 Facebook account, 180 Facebook pages, 11 group, 72 Instagram account for violating the policy. Dan Meta menuduh bahawa PDRM ataupun polis yang menjalankan aktiviti inauthentic behavior on these troll farms. Now, this was about 7 days ago or 6 days ago. Kemudiannya, PDRM telah pun mengeluarkan kenyataan pada 3 ataupun 4 hari lepas menyatakan bahawa they deny there is a link to the troll farm alleged by Meta.
Naturally.
Well, yes, I guess. No, not naturally. I mean, they can admit. I mean, that's the other option, right?
Admit you did something wrong. I don't think it's a Malaysian culture.
I guess. So kenyataan media daripada setiausaha politik, kenyataan media dari setiausaha polis Malaysia membuat penafian yang PDRM mendakwa dakwaan syarikat Meta Platform Incorporated, dan penafian ini adalah penafian yang sekeras-kerasnya, dan mereka menyatakan bahawa mereka tidak terlibat secara langsung untuk menjalankan aktiviti-aktiviti troll ni. According to Facebook ataupun Meta, the troll farm spent about RM6,000 for advertising on Facebook and Instagram.
And according to Meta, USD.
6,000 ringgit. So it's about 1,000 US. Ringgit, 6,000 ringgit, or about 1,500 USD or 1,000 USD. I think it makes sense, right? 1,000 USD. And then apa nama? The coordinated inauthenticated behavior ataupun CIB is a group of pages or people working together to mislead others and about who they are and about what they do. And Meta removes them based on their deceptive behavior. Some press has reached out to Meta for additional information, and Meta has in turn responded to these additional information. And it's not just about online misinformation and disinformation, it's also online scams. And they have done a lot of activity on disauthenticating all these pages. So you know for a fact that you know, the government does all this behind the scenes, but for them to be accused of you know, running this particular programs, it's an incrimination or an indictment against the people who are supposed to police this. So In short, after 10 minutes of talking, Malaysia's cybersecurity hygiene is in shambles. That is the story here. Okay, from PDRM being accused of running troll farms to our Prime Minister's account of mobile phone being hacked. Essentially, these are two really high-profile consumer news that we know of today. Imagine the news that we don't know of. State security, MEIO kind of information, Kementerian Dalam Negeri punya information, the communique that is done between Wisma Putra and all our ambassadors around the world. All these information are now under threat and has always been so under threat. And the question is whether or not they want to come clean in terms of whether or not the data has been hacked. We don't know, because things like this, it's either out there already in the Panama Papers or any other papers, or this information has been circulated internally between all the bad actors and state actors, and we don't know of, and we'll never know of this. So whatever it is, cybersecurity has always been a big issue around the world. The issue is here, how bad is the cybersecurity lapse or hygiene in Malaysia? My argument is it's going to be really, really bad if ever we find out the true story of this data breach.
So I think the point of Aku dan Yim keep on bringing this matter up, no matter whenever it comes up in the news, is that we want more and more people to apply pressure to your lawmakers, right? Tell your MP this is an important issue. And inshallah, hopefully they'll bring this up. And one day it will be a Malaysian political agenda. Bukan anti-lompat parti apa semua. I mean, that's good, but you know, we need to move further than that, right? We need, okay.
Better. Then there's this whole story of do the lawmakers actually know what they're up against? I mean, kalau kita punya lawmaker pun tak tahu yang signal Telegram semua.
Looking at the current crop, I dare say less than 50% actually know lah.
Jadi inilah this dia. The current crop pokok, lah. Pokok isu dia adalah, do they even understand what they're up against? If diorang pun tak faham. I mean, look, let me put it this way. Aku ni tak terror banyak benda. Kalau kau suruh aku servis kereta aku, I really don't know. Okay? Yeah. And you may be angry at me. You may be like, apa ni masalahnya? Ni minyak hitam dekat sini. Dekat oil fluid dekat sini. Dekat water fluid dekat sini. I'm like, okay, go ahead. Aku tak reti, babe. I really don't. And I've been driving since I was 18 years old. Okay? And nak dekat 25 tahun aku dah bawa kereta ni. I don't know how the car works. I really don't. Best part. I don't want to know. I don't care. I put the engine in, I put the key ignition in, and the car runs. That's all I fucking
care.
That's
all you care.
So what is the moral of the story here? The moral of the story here is, I send my car to service. Yeah, okay? Yeah. Every so often, 6 bulan ke 3 bulan ke whatever lah. Hantar dekat service, biarlah mereka kira benda-benda and I pay them lah. The government doesn't know what they're up against when it comes to cyber security, cyber warfare,
liars,
cyber hygiene.
Liars.
Banyak kot. Ramai, okay, banyak, okay, service businesses and all that is ready to help them out. But you got to pay lah. Macam aku punya foreman, aku bayar lah dia, mana ada orang kerja free. So, what is the budget allocation for the government when it comes to dealing with improving the cyber hygiene and data hygiene on Malaysians, state actors? Do we have a budget? What is the budget? I don't know. When Belanjawan is being presented every year, I don't see the budget for cyber warfare being highlighted. I don't
not
know.
Much. It's usually like the initiative.
Bro, not much means dah ada sen. But the budget requires 10 billion. Itu not much. The issue here is berapa sen? I have never heard. So perhaps in the Belanjawan 2023 that is going to be tabled in a few months' time, I really am, for the first time in my life, going to take a closer look into budget allocated for improving social health and social well-being when it comes to data welfare. I mean, I have to, because we need to know how much money is being invested in terms of improving our data security.
Definitely that's the case. And on that note, kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita sambung ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Teman Amats.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Baiklah, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Fiz, dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen seterusnya, segmen Teman Amans. Seperti biasa, dalam segmen ni kita akan memberi respon kepada soalan-soalan yang dihantar oleh pendengar-pendengar Aman di luar sana. Untuk segmen kali ini, kita telah mendapat email daripada saudara Hamzah yang dikatakan pendengar 100 episod podcast Amans. Terima kasih, Hamzah. Anyways, soalan daripada saudara Hamzah adalah, apa pandangan anda, hai Mak Fiz, saya, apa pandangan anda tentang tuntutan CCP China berkenaan tuntutan 9-line yang secara terang memuli negara kecil ASEAN yang terlibat? Okey, aku rasa dia memang dengar our milestone episode on a bit on China there. The short and simple answer, aku akan bagi Yim peluang untuk cerita the long answer. The short and simple answer why they're doing this is because China can. It's pretty much they have, even if all these small ASEAN countries band together, they couldn't even like capai even, I guess, 50% of China. And the fact of the matter is Malaysia is also, I mean, China is our biggest trading partner, if I'm not mistaken. China is our biggest trading partner. There's not much to say or do, especially when China imposes its will. And in this case, it's CCP lah. So aku rasa they will keep on doing this for years, 50 years, 100 years. InsyaAllah, kalau dunia terus berterusan 200, 500, 1,000 years, China will always imposes their will, especially within what they term as their region. Yep.
Okay, I cannot agree with you more. It's because they can. That's the answer. Furthermore, maybe I can add.
Unfortunately, aku macam I want to give a more like a better answer, but it's just they can.
Yeah, they can. There's nothing else. And Hamza, I know you agree with us. And secara terang membuli negara kecil ASEAN yang terlibat. Yes, yes. That's what happens to bullies. They can. And because there is no policeman that can actually hold them back, we know that, you know, this is going to happen. Are you going to stand up to the bully? Nancy Pelosi stood up to the bully. She landed in Taiwan for, a few hours. And then the chow. And then what happens? Diorang buat military drills Taiwan.
Military drills around.
China buat military drills around the island, bro. Bukan sahaja facing China, Taiwan punya faces, ya, bukan depan-depan coastal, belakang Taiwan pun dia buat, all the way to Luzon Strait dekat north of Manila. That's how crazy, north of Philippines.
I think that's how much ammunition you have, right? You
can, and live drill, I mean, yeah, metaphorically and physical, live drills, bro, live, but peluru hidup, okay. And then the US 7th Fleet and US 5th Fleet would not intervene, right? I'm sure sure they can, but then it's an all-out war lah. Who the hell wants that? Kan?
Jangan jadi pasal lah.
Cukup. All right, so kalau korang tak tahu apa kejadah 9-line ni, kita kena tengok history balik. Dia bermula pada sekitar lewat kurun ke-20, 1895, di mana terwujud satu situasi yang agak menarik following the Sino-French War yang melibatkan Indochina. Ada Treaty of Tientsin dengan Perancis yang menunjukkan bahawa France ataupun Perancis renounce the suzerainty claim over Vietnam, and therefore French forces have left Vietnam. By the way, kalau engkau nak one of the best food local delicacies in the world, on the planet, pergi Vietnam. Seriously, there's food in Taiwan, there's food in Hoi An, there's food in Hanoi and Saigon, ataupun Ho Chi Minh, that is fantastic. My ex-wife went there very recently to Hoi An. She said that betul, memang betul. She now understands Anthony Bourdain, the master chef, why he
spent time.
Why he said, yeah, that Vietnam food is the best. And he's a French, yes, he's American, but he's a French cuisine masterclass, master chef. The mixture of French food with Asian delicacies is explosive in Vietnam. Yeah. Okay, all right. Sekian iklan. Anyway, so after the French forces have left Vietnam at the end of World War II, the Republic of China claimed the entirety of the Paracels, Spratly Islands, and after accepting surrender from the Japan forces based on the Cairo and Potsdam declarations, they have also exerted sovereignty over the archipelagos and waters of China, South China Sea. There's also that whole notion of how far does the nine dash line go. It actually goes just a little bit, a few kilometers off Malaysia punya waters. The James Shoal, Zhang Mu Ansha kind of southernmost point of China's 21 meters is actually just across Sabah, just across Brunei, just across apa nama Sarawak, up to 25-24 nautical miles. Yeah, that's how far they claim. Imagine
that's
China.
That's pretty much like 85-80% of the South China Sea lah, basically.
Yes, bro. I mean, if it's
more than that, maybe.
If it's 24 nautical miles off Sarawak, and that's like, that's it, right? Now, yeah. The question is, how far would they go in terms of exerting their sovereignty over this line? Remember, China is patient. We're talking about a 5,000-year timeline here. 5,000-year, not 4-year timeline that US presidents have to go through, or 5-year timeline that our government has to go through.
But bukan Malaysia punya umur 60 lebih tahun.
Yeah, when they signed off Hong Kong to the Brits with a 99-year lease, the Brits were very happy because that ended the Opium War. But, you know, in 1997, when they came back to Hong Kong, it's like normal. It really is normal. 99 years is a blip on their entire 5,000-year timeline. That whole notion of two systems, one country for Taiwan. Yeah. Look, even people in Taiwan knows that the inevitability is here. They are going to be part of China sooner or rather than later. If not in this timeline, if not in this lifetime, it's going to be in other person's lifetime. So China is slowly and surely executing their dominance over all these factors. And if it means taking them thousands of years, they will do that. So this nine dash line that China has imposed on against the will of the ASEAN countries, from Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei dan sebagainya, we know for a fact that they are going to exert the dominance. The issue is when. Is it today, tomorrow? Is it 100 years from now? We don't know. Whatever it is, China will exert their dominance. What can we do? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Yeah. We can't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, okay? I can't even foresee apa benda. Yeah.
So what should we do? That's the better question. My argument, perhaps, and this is purely my opinion, play ball. Play ball with China.
Yeah.
See how we can benefit from this.
Diplomacy lah. Dia akan macam, okay, tak apa. That area you can...
Yeah, no. We build closer business ties. Semiconductor business is still there. I just finished my interview with YTL Communications CEO Wing Kay Lee. Wing sembang yang China punya semiconductor business is still far behind from the semiconductor businesses of the Taiwan semiconductor business company, TSMC, ataupun Intel that is based in the US, which there's a plant, huge plant in Penang. Right now, SMIC, the company that is the semiconductor company in China, can only build up to 14 nanometer, reportedly 28 nanometer ketebalan chip tu. Intel and TSMC can build 3 nanometers. I don't think they can go any smaller than that, because we're bound by the laws of physics. We cannot go 0 nanometer. Then what is the chip going to be? Nak bina apa kan? So, can the Chinese semiconductor business build something that is down to 3 nanometer? The answer is yes, of course. Is it tomorrow again? Is it looser? Is it down the pine? Is it 5 years from now? Is it 10 years from now? Some analysts say, for instance, the YTL CEO speculates that they're about 5 to 6 years behind TSMC and Intel. And TSMC and Intel is not static. They are continuing to move on. Right.
Yeah,
and the issue here is whether or not, say, the manufacturer, say, for instance, Apple, who is big on the designing or element of the chip, are they going into the downstream part, which is the manufacturing element of it? Are they going to build, not just design the M chips, M1 chip, M2 chip, M1 Pro dan sebagainya? Are they not just stopping at design? Are they going to now develop it, like literally manufacture it, and enter this whole space of building and designing at the same time, just like how Apple has been doing for everything else? They build they design the iOS, they design the Mac OS, and then they build the damn computer and the damn phone that goes along with it, hardware and software. So is that the way moving forward? And if it is, are they going to build in China? Who are they going to build in with China? So there's a lot that we can do, right? This is not all bleak and very sad and succumb to the wills and fancies of China being the big bully that they are. No. We can profit from this. The question is how.
So
kepada Hamzah yang pendengar 100 episode podcast Amin, terima kasih kerana mendengar 100 episode. The issue here is what's next for us? And I think that the answer is going to be very, very interesting and exciting. I don't think that all is doom and gloom. I think that we can profit from it.
Definitely. On that note, terima kasih Hamzah. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul.
Okay, cerita dia macam ni. Kamu seorang pengusaha kecil dan mikro. Kamu menjual barang macam-macam. Dan telah tiba masanya kamu membuat penampilan di media untuk menceritakan kisah kamu. Tapi isu dia sekarang, kamu takut. Tak tahu nak start kat mana. Nak cerita apa? Nak cakap dengan siapa? Ini semua normal problem. Di Pusat Media Amans, kami sediakan media training untuk pengusaha kecil macam korang. Wartawan-wartawan bertauliah dari Astro Awani, BFM Radio dan media masa lain sedia untuk memberikan latihan kepada kamu. Dengan hanya RM50 sahaja, kamu akan mendapat latihan media dari real life reporters. Tanya kami di us@amans.my sekarang. Media training untuk semua di us@amans.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku Mak Pizza juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen seterusnya, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul. Jadi biasa dalam segmen ni aku dan Yim akan membincangkan ramalan kami. Dan untuk sesi kali ni, Yim, apa kita nak ramalkan ya?
Aku rasa benda yang best untuk kita ramalkan tentang tech dan juga apa nama business adalah tentang the future of learning. Sebab bila kita cakap pasal the future of learning, again, very timely. I just spoke to the CEO of Coursera.
Ooh, and Coursera, free course on internet.
Baru aku nak cakap free and paid. It's also the delivery channel of it. So yeah, if you don't know Coursera, go Google it now, get on board. It's a free registration, just like Khan Academy, just like any other MOOCs, right? But what the future of learning is going to look like, aku punya prediction is this: you're going to go to university and you're going to get a degree from university. And when I say university, not just local one, Malaysia Kamdata, ataupun you know one of those colleges, university colleges yang you see at many areas in your house, Imperial College lah, apalah segina. Everyone has the opportunity to go to university and graduate and get the degree from the university without actually going to the university, because online, when you look at all these full online. Right, and the experience can be very nuanced and can be very rich. We're looking at the university as an experience, not just as a point of learning. I did a lot of crazy things when I was in university. What's crazier was that I went to UIA, which is an Islamic university, and still had a crazy moment there, right? My 4 years there was actually quite interesting. Benda yang halal dan haram dan makruh dan sunat semua aku buat kat situ. Can this be replicated through online learning and online delivery channel? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because what can be transferred through online is that whole experience of information and data and knowledge, but experience maybe not. So the future of learning is going to be facing a very interesting option where you're going to get taught and you're going to get educated, but you're not going to feel the experience that is going through the moment of you going to university ataupun K-12 education learning daripada darjah 1 sampai ke form 5. Is this a bad thing? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I hate to be the old man that says, "Do masa aku dulu kecil, when I was young, you know, when I mean, all this is like passé. It really is. Aku boring kot bila parents aku cakap benda tu kan. Now aku ada anak, anak aku dah dia ambil SPM tahun ni.
Oh, congrats.
She's actually quite nervous and she's shitting bricks right now. Anyway. She was telling me off. She's like, "Can you just stop with the whole during my time? It's no longer your time. Go fuck off and die." I mean, she didn't say that lah, but she's like, "This is how I experience learning now. My experience is with playing with friends that are, you know, dulu kawan kita kan, you know, satu jalan. Kalau jalan 3 stroke A, kawan-kawan kita 3 stroke B, 4 stroke B, you know, that kind of shit." Her friends right now live everywhere. I'm not just talking about, you know, she's staying in KL. I'm not talking about her friends living in Cheras or Ampang and all this. She has friends internationally, bro. And you think that's scary? That's not scary. She can weed out incels and she can weed out all these pedophiles very quickly, right? These kids are smarter today than ever before in terms of trying to pull out bad actors.
It's all the exposure, right? They're just exposed to these things. But just to add on, when you check out future of learning, aku totally agree with you. Tapi aku rasa the course structure, very apt that you spoke to Coursera, the course structure will also change. Course, C-O-U-R-S-E, not the cost. Because aku rasa masa zaman aku, aku rasa we are used to that, you know, law, you know, these are the papers that you have to take. Medicine, these are the papers that you have to take. Communication, these are the papers. Economy. Aku rasa in the future, it will be a bit more hybrid. Things will be a bit more flexible. So you see people taking economy and health together, or people taking law and medicine. So dia akan jadi a lot more skills-based lah. And if parents these days and also didn't prepare their children, face that. Aku sebenarnya nervous sebab I have a 3-year-old son, as you know. Aku tak tahu macam mana nak prepare dia because I didn't go through it. I go through something an entirely different experience, right? Tapi at least I try to find out what's the latest lah in 2022 and what's what will we be facing lah 2030, 2035. And aku rasa I think it's time that we think about the future of learning today, because otherwise, we're going to be stuck in this hole. We are 6 years behind. We are 10 years behind. Tak boleh lah. Yeah. Can't afford. We have to be part of the.
Tak boleh. And also,
of the moving cohort.
Yeah. So, which is interesting that you brought this point up. There has been talks on whether or not the template menu. Kalau kita pergi restoran kan, nak set A, set B, set C. Kadang-kadang set A tu ada 2-3 benda yang kita tak nak pun. Ataupun mungkin ya, kita memang nak set A, tapi ada one item that is in set B yang kita nak. So this concept previously was handled as an elective course. However, there is a talk right now that whether or not do you really need elective courses? Can't you just select the 10 things that you really want to learn and then graduate and call yourself the graduate of that particular 10 courses?
Dia tak ada bachelor of something. They show you these are the papers that you are skilled in.
And if you think about it, this whole bachelor of this, bachelor of that, master of this, master of that, doctor of philosophy and this and that, you can ingat tau, where did this come from? This did come from the old Latin learning of way of doing things. Remember, when we say doctor, PhD doctor, that came first 1,000 years earlier than doctor medicine. By the way, kalau korang nak tahulah benda-benda ni, old Latin, old English, old Greek, Greco learning of thought. It's not doctor medicine yang datang dulu tau. It's doctor of philosophy tau. People call doctors philosophy first, 1,000 years earlier than the first doctor came about. In fact, the first doctor on the planet certified is still Ibn Sina. Yeah, by the way, and he was not young. He was like what, 1500? I don't know when. Okay, yeah. But the doctors of philosophy has been around for thousands of years. Now, does it make sense to apply the learning method that is being applicable for the past 2,000 years in 2022 moving forward? I don't think so. We have to keep relevant, and we have to keep on moving with the times. So, if you say that you're a Bachelor of Law, are you really relevant? Remember what we learned in university? I think aku pakai 20% je of my day to day.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether
I'll be honest with you. Apa yang aku belajar kat university is just to just get me that bachelor's pay. That's it. I learned everything from scratch. You know, in terms of the skills, in terms of ada lah basic. But I think aku rasa like what, less than 10%, less than 20%. Tapi yeah, I mean that's the reality lah, and that's me. And I graduated in 2010. I don't know what about those who graduated in 2020, who graduated in 2030. You know, it's gonna be far different lah. Yeah. Okay. On that note, kita akhiri segmen ni dan kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita ke segmen seterusnya, segmen baik buruk.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Amans TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Amans hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Amans TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Fiz dan juga Yim. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Biasa dalam segmen ni aku dan Yim akan membincangkan tentang apa yang baik dan buruk yang kami nampak bagi sesi kali ini. Aku mulakan dulu. Baik untuk aku is of course finally the anti-party hopping law pass the Senate level. And of course it passed because it doesn't involve them. Tapi for me it's still good. So you know, we're expecting it to be in effect by September. So definitely lah GE15, you know, it'll be in effect. That's good. Buruk bagi aku, actually, aku tahu Yim mesti tersenyum bila aku cakap benda ni. I've been watching the Galaxy Unpack punya highlights lah. I didn't watch the actual show. I think this is the first year aku more disappointed than usual lah. Sebab aku rasa I could not see myself owning a Galaxy Flip or Fold. Which brings me to what you said a couple of episodes back, or is it previous episode back, during when we were discussing about Apple Pay. Maybe it is time to actually shift to the more superior product, as what they always call it. Aku tak nampak future sangat lah. Samsung nampak bleak lah for me. Because usually when I see their flagship phone, aku macam, oh, I can see myself owning it. But then when I see the this one, aku macam,
don't get me wrong. So there will come a time when Apple's going to have shitty products. They already have some shitty products already as we speak, right? But the idea here is to create a value for the consumer. So everything is commercial and everything is expensive. And at the same time, because it's a consumer business, there's always a segment that needs the purpose of these kind of phones. Every single segment. Okay? Now, if you run a retail business, there's the... Whatever, simplest one is T20 market, T1 market, T5 market, B40 market. There's always something. But the question now is, are you moving out of your current segment into the Apple segment? The answer is yes. Obviously, you're already using some of the Apple products, including iPad. So now you just need to add one more item, which is your phone over there. It makes sense because iPhone 14 is expected to be launched in September. This is a report that has come again and again. And the notion that the new model is going to be launched on September 13, along with the Apple Watch Series 8 and other products, also shows that it will be a revolutionary product yet again. The fully new A16 Bionic chip is expected. Camera upgrades, most notably, is going to be 48 megapixel sensor. It's going to be three lenses. I mean, these are the things that all the other manufacturers can give the issue here is, what is the add-on service that is going to be provided if Samsung cannot keep up with the Samsung Pay, for instance, which is dead in the water, by the way, and Google Pay is not being launched in Malaysia, and Apple Pay has been launched in Malaysia. What is the next? What is the next step for that, right? For these kind of products, there's also that whole notion of how Malaysia, especially the telcos, can actually hook up some of the products onto the current service. As we know, 5G is yet to be supported with iPhones, right? And there are a million phones out there. All of them that have 5G can be supported by, say, for instance, Yes punya 5G, but iPhone tak boleh lagi. So, what is the story there? Is it the CDMU that can do it? Is it the CDMU means the Celcom, DG, Maxis, U-Mobile? Ataupun is it something else behind the story? So while the technology allows and permits it to be used, can these services be activated? For example, the ECG function on the Apple Watch, it has been there since it rolled out many, many years ago. Tapi baru ni je, I think 2 years ago je, baru MDA, the Medical Device Authority of Malaysia under KKM, Kementerian Kesihatan, membenarkan penggunaan ECG digunapakai oleh pengguna-pengguna di Malaysia. So we are late. Apple Pay, it was introduced in 2014, brother. 8 years ago, baru this week, baru dapat.
Almost a decade ago.
Almost a decade. So are we really getting the most out of our software and hardware? Are we getting the most? The answer is no. Dekat US, you boleh beli one subscription news for all the major newspapers there. Yeah, Wall Street Journal lah, New York Times lah, Washington Post, The Economist, you name it. Dekat sini, tak ada. I have no news app on my phone. So, kalau aku nak layan Wall Street Journal ke apa bagai, aku kena bayar each and every single subscription. In the US, dah sekentak dah.
One subscription fee.
By the way, that's another debate because the publishers are saying that they're not getting enough money from that. But never mind. The fact remains, if we pay so much money for, say, for instance, an Apple product, are we really getting the maximum usage out of it? The answer is no, especially if you're not from US.
Let's say not yet lah. Kau pula macam ada baik buruk.
Oh yeah, we're still in the baik buruk segment lah. aku rasa buruk adalah ni, very simple. I think politicians should stop using Telegram and Signal. There's another app that you should try out. It's called Threema. 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 It's also another secured ni apa semua. But the fact is, like, whatever, if you use in electronic devices, just assume that it's going to be read by everyone. Just assume it. Senang. And then baiknya adalah ini, awareness tentang security developments of Malaysia is there, and baiknya, unfortunately I have to say this, Meta did a good job outing PDRM.
I mean, this is a
company that I hate, huh? Like, I really, really don't like them, and it's them that has to out PDRM.
Tapi you see, okay, I agree with you, baik. Tapi I think Meta should go one step further. They should name and shame. Right now, you just say there's thousand, there's thousand. Tapi siapa? Adakah, you know, monkey 2, 3, 4, you know, they didn't name. So, these people are just erased, you know, all these accounts are erased from existence, right? So, if you had exposure
basically,
to this troll farm,
basically,
you don't know.
Not just stop the mess, but
accountability lah.
Decharacterize them. Because whatever that this, you know, monkey 232 contohnya, we have to discredit them. That's the word that you're trying to get at. Discredit them. Because they have not been around for 2 days, 3 days, bro. They have been around for quite some time. And we don't know what kind of misinformation and disinformation that has been disseminated by using these all bad actors. Discredit them sepatutnya. Yeah, betul lah tu. I agree with you.
And on that note, kita akhiri segmen baik buruk and also podcast Aman. Seperti biasa, jika anda mempunyai apa-apa cadangan, maklum balas dan sebagainya, hantarkan ke us@aman.my. Kami sentiasa mengalu-alukannya. Kita bertemu lagi di segmen podcast akan datang.
Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo Dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh OPPO Malaysia.